wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session for Coat Tire. Call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.
Well, nice to see you, Damo.
Hello, Jim. Damo. And Bill. And it was a nice tribute, wasn't it, all did on Saturday, Bill, for the great Danny Frawley, who was part of the rub for so long and were able to put together 2.5 hours plus of his finest, some of his not-so-finest, but still funny.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Monica, I reckon, sums it up the best here. This was brilliant radio, a group therapy session needed by all. Thank you to JB, to Gary, to BT and Damien and Rosie. I heard you laughing.
Yeah, beautiful host.
All and all who put it together. I'm so sorry you had to do it. I hope you're all okay, because let me tell you, it was the most downloaded podcast ever in the history of Triple M.
Wow.
In the history. Yeah, so well done to you.
I wasn't aware of that. No, it was brilliant to shine a light on how incredible a broadcaster he was. Among everything else, yeah. Purple, I mean, the tentacles of Spud go everywhere.
Yep.
They really do. I mean, the amount of times in my life and you two would have been exactly the same, blokes would ring me and go, I met your mate on the captain's ride for Steve Waugh. Yeah. And this is how it'd go every time. I met your mate, and I knew straight away they were talking about Spud. Mm. And then they'd go, pause, and they'd go, well, I thought you were mates. Because obviously the first 5 minutes, all Spud did was put S-H-I-T on me. But then in the end, they'd go, what a cracking bloke he is. And I met him at a golf day. They'd say, I played golf day in Bendigo. I met your mate. And he was everywhere, Spud.
Yeah,
he
was. And he'd remember conversations too. As flippant as he was in some parts of his life, he actually could remember the things that he should have remembered and did. And even people he did meet once or twice, he did have a recollection if they then met him a second or third time. And he could just pull out one part of the previous conversation, despite everything else going on in his life.
It's like Bill, actually. He got time for everyone, Spud, didn't he? Anyone he met, he was always happy to stop and talk. And so it was, he's a better bloke than you, but
that
similarity.
And funny. We're replaying it on Wednesday, of course, because service is on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So no, there'll be no rush hour, but we'll replay it.
And that's official now too. It's all been released via family, via people around the family and the AFL. And for those who need to get the complete details, can go to the various platforms online. But basically, the AFL release today was a celebration to honour the life of Danny Frawley. It will be held at Moorabbin Oval on Wednesday, commencing at 3 p.m. There will be a feed of the private service at Moorabbin Town Hall back to Moorabbin Oval. There, St Kilda home of footy there. And as many people who choose to go can experience and get a feel for the private ceremony at that place.
Is it right that the coffin will do a lap?
There will be a lap of honour at the RSCA Park Oval at 5 p.m. following the funeral service.
So that's a fitting tribute.
It is. And Anita herself also has sent out a very powerful statement today. Again, it's on at Triple M Footy and all the social media platforms, but it's a very heartfelt statement relating to Spud's passing and the lead up to it. It's very raw, and I'd encourage people to have a look at it on the online.
So, Damo, we move on to the footy, and of course, prelim final week. Pretty much, if you go back through the last 20, there's nearly always a tribunal drama leading into either grand final week or prelim
final
week.
One of the two, and we've got back-to-backs this week. It's been now confirmed, Bill, that your man, Tommy Hawkins, will be up tonight.
6 o'clock.
It is the greatest throw at the stumps of all time, this tribunal case.
We've got a new lawyer.
Guilty, have you?
Yeah.
Yeah? What's he going to argue?
Lawyer X. She's going to come in and look out.
Right.
Yes.
I don't think you should go down that path.
He'll threaten them with the mob.
Exactly right. So look out.
Whose side's she on?
I don't know, but she's with Tomahawk, so we got her tonight.
Well, it is a throw at the stumps, though, Jim, to use the cricketing vernacular, because he's been found guilty, according to the Match Review Office, of intentional conduct, and I don't know how you can argue that it wasn't, given it was so far off the ball that it was a round arm of sorts, built to the face of Will Schofield, and he got him hard because he hardly braced himself for the fall that ultimately came. He's got the 1 week. You have to take it on, given there's no danger of it being increased to two. But it's just a routine moment in my eyes, Bill.
Neil Busy still in charge?
No, he's not, the hanging judge.
Neil Busy.
He would have somehow found reason to increase it to two if he was in charge. But the bigger one
was one of Spud's great stories there, where he went to go to the trial mill and Doug Hawkins or something. And they walked into the tribunal and they said, "You busy?" He goes, "Yeah, I am." They go, "All right, we'll come back next week."
Oh, no.
He didn't, did he? Yeah. And Toby Green's up tomorrow. Yes. And that's the more contentious one from a past record issue, Jim. I'm not buying Michael Christian, what he said yesterday about it. It had nothing to do with past history and even past week with the Marcus Bontempelli situation. Yep. It had to, because I don't see how in isolation they would have plucked another player up. Yep. And not just plucked it up, but actually found him guilty of an offence that's requiring of 1 week.
This one, to the naked eye, Purple, to me, looked far less of an issue than the week before.
It was.
I reckon. So
yep.
If he's not going to go for the week before, why would you send him down for this one?
The wording of it too, unnecessary, unreasonable contact around the eye and face region. It's going to be hard to argue, Bill, because the difference between what he's going to do tomorrow night at the tribunal to what he did do last week with the Marcus Bontempelli case is that on this occasion, he actually has to overturn a finding. Last week, it was just a straight hearing from scratch where there was no predetermination around it.
He pleaded guilty.
He pleaded guilty, which was also part of the contrived arrangements around it. But he has to now argue that the match review office has got it wrong. And that doesn't often happen when you do get it to the tribunal. So,
but surely they'll just say, well, you're innocent until proven guilty. How are you proving that I actually did that? There's no video that tells you that.
I know what you're saying there, Jim, but he's guilty until proven innocent, given he has got the 1 week already attached to the
finding. No, I get
that bit,
but I guess when they get in there, they'll be saying, well, on what sort of evidence are you suggesting that this happened?
Well, he's going to pull a case apart. That's why it's different, and that's why this is very high stakes. And they will have the appeals mechanism if it is determined that there's a matter of law that needs to be further explored. So they've effectively got two cracks at it, but I am convinced just the way it's unfolded. I've also got wind out of the Lions camp, so to speak, last night, Jim, that the evidence that will come, if it's asked for from Lachie Neale, won't be damning. That there was contact made to the face area, nose area, but no scratches and nothing that makes him anyway compelled to put Toby in.
Why would he do it again?
That's the big question, Bill, isn't it? I mean, how you could be wired in such a way to go back with your hands to the opposition's best player in the face 1 week after you just did that and stood outside a tribunal and saying you were extremely apologetic for those actions.
Never ring again, Toby.
What about they just go down the Sydney Swans path and that's just take them to the Supreme Court?
Yeah.
Well, you can't do that now. There's nothing stopping you doing it.
They would still do it.
The Swans reckon?
Yeah. Every single time.
Well, Geelong should do it.
Yeah, just,
why?
Well, we'll
on what grounds, Bill?
No, but they didn't need grounds. No. The Swans didn't. Swans,
no, they didn't.
They just took them to the Supreme Court every time.
And they did it.
Their player played.
And they did it 10 years earlier than that, too, or 9 years earlier with Andrew Dunkley, if you recall, to play against Wayne Carey and North Melbourne in that grand final.
That's the one.
Look, what's happened since, though, and people do raise that as a possibility. The court system doesn't like dealing with sports bodies matters, particularly when they know that the sports bodies' sanctioning mechanisms have got legalese around them, as the AFL one does now. There's effectively legal arguments in the match review office in terms of how it's worded. You've then got a bunch of lawyers, retired judges dealing with it at the tribunal, and again, a similar set of people at the appeals tribunal. So if they do get an application, they're going to look at it and go, well, no, you've dealt with this,
and there
is no hardship here. I'm sorry, we're not going to take it. So I can't ever see a Supreme Court being used by an AFL club or player again in the circumstances of Barry Hall.
Take a break here, Purple. When we come back, we'll have a look at the two finals we just saw on the weekend.
For Coates Hire, Damien Barrett is in the studio.
So, very good response from the Geelong Footy Club's Friday night, Purple, because they didn't want to be bounced out, obviously, in straight sets after finishing on top, and they played very nicely against West Coast.
They did. They needed to respond, didn't they? And they made a couple of key changes. Reece Stanley, who came back into the team and more than held his own, didn't he, against the rucking of Nick Natanui. And the other key, Bill, was a decision that I think a lot of people have been asking the question about all year. Why was Joel Selwood not being used the way he traditionally has been? Well, he was on Friday night mostly, and it worked again.
Yeah, throw him in the middle where the ball is, and he was fantastic, 26 disposals, but just led from the front, didn't he? And I just liked it early. We know how bad they start, but Tommy Atkins, couple of tackles, kicks a goal. Radicalia was jumping everything, and even Tomahawk, he was aggressive. He was very aggressive Friday night. So.
And the Yo, Elliot Yo and Paddy Dangerfield battle was great all night, and then Danger just took himself forward of the ball, didn't he, Jim? And just took some big
last
clunks.
Last quarter,
and just stood up, and I thought he was pretty solid throughout. His numbers weren't what they often are, but I thought he more than held his own in that battle. And that's not easy against Elliot Yeo, as we know.
There was an important ball there where it looked like Nick Knapp was going to get it, and he just went bang, got it out there.
And that was early, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was early.
It's sort of, and Cam Guthrie had one of his really good games.
Yeah, I'll tell you, did you start with danger at full forward Friday night?
Well, you tell us, Bill, because obviously let's assume Hawkins doesn't succeed tonight and he's out. So what happens? So who comes into the 22, which is the first question, and then how do they configure the forward line?
Well, I look at Mitch Duncan, who I don't think will play.
He won't play.
Gary Rowan's the other one.
I still think there's enough doubt on his hamstring.
Where's Henderson at?
Henderson's been playing down back,
think about maybe moving him forward?
Well, see, the other one's Kolodziejczyk plays tall. So maybe, I'll tell you who else went forward and got his hands on a couple Friday night and dropped them. Harry Taylor. So maybe you could play him forward. But I'd love to see the setup of Dangerfield clear everyone just to say, righto, he's starting there. Who are you going to play on him and go from there? But there's a couple of, there's certainly Dangerfield, certainly Harry can swing forward there.
Is Ablett an option, Bill, the way that we've pondered many a time over the years about what he may do in his latter games? Is it just one of those occasions where you just got to get through one game and you maybe see what he can do?
No, we'll leave him just skirting around the forward line there somewhere, wherever he wants
to. He was better against West Coast.
But it still wasn't
what he'd want to be.
But they all were. That was the thing. They went back to the rounds 1 to 11, where it was a team effort and they all did their little bits instead of just 4 or 5 doing the job.
All right. You know more than you let on. How do they beat the Tigers?
Well, they've got to beat them in the middle, don't they, of course? And that's where you'd love to have Dangerfield in the middle also. But they've just got to start well and just keep with them. You know, the Tigers last year, remember they were odds-on favourite to win that and Collingwood defeated them. So anyone can win on the night, but just start well again and just stick with them. Reece is very important in the ruck again and anything can happen.
What does West Coast take out of this season? That horrible round 23 loss to Hawthorn really cocked it up for them.
They then
deprived them of that double chance.
Yeah.
And that's going to haunt them, I reckon.
It is. It's a wasted year. They ended up losing 3 of their last 4 games, Jim, as you know, because the week prior to that Hawthorn game was the great game at the MCG against Richmond. So you give them that because that was a kick in it in the end and they proved they were thereabouts. But the Hawthorn game took them out of the top 4. It then meant that they had to travel throughout the final series after that first home final where they stitched up the Bombers. And when you are the reigning premier and you go out in the second week, there's no other spin on it. It's a failed season of footy. And they actually had a reasonably good crack at it with injury, didn't they? And they got back Nat Nui, again, not for many games, but he was ultimately there for the 2 finals they played. Shepherd had a really good year. He wasn't there last year. They had some improvement in Ryan and Rioli until the moment that he had last week where he got done for the Asada situation. And the couple of questions that come out of it too, the impact of Josh Kennedy. He ended up kicking 49 goals out of the 22 games he played. And just on raw maths, you take that. But he's lost his edge, hasn't he?
He's getting older.
Yeah.
Like he's not 32. A young man anymore.
He's 32. And he's banged up. And I don't think he's ever done a preseason in his history. But if he doesn't do one going to 2020, he's just clearly now not going to be the player he once was unless he can get that body right.
Now, what about this? What do you make of this, Purple? Senior West Coast officials reportedly believe suspended Eagle Willie Rioli will claim he acted in frustration rather than in an attempt to subvert the testing process.
So he couldn't produce
a sample, so out of frustration he used a drink bottle rather than...
Yeah, look, I just want to keep tabling. I am sympathetic to him because everyone I've spoken to says he's a really nice person and has got a great football backstory and just a great life story. But it doesn't matter what he claims, Jim. He diluted his own substance of urine for the Asada testers. And right now, I think he'll be able to work backwards from a 4-year ban. But right now, that's what he's facing. And he can claim whatever he likes. He has tarnished his own urine sample for reasons that ultimately don't matter to Asada or WADA.
Okay, so according to the report, I'm just reading what's put in front of me here. Rioli later had a blood test which did not reveal any illicit or performance-enhancing substance in his body. Is that going to matter?
No, not at all. He has tampered with his own urine sample and while you factor that into it, you can't get away with what he's done. For whatever reasons, Jim, it's an internationally linked testing system, as we know, and you and I got into a fight over it yesterday, Bill.
4 years is too harsh a penalty, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's the system we sign up to.
And yeah, what maybe, also they need to talk about is how quickly they can arrive at a verdict. It can't drag on for 8-9 months. Well, that is not acceptable.
Well, it will, and he won't be playing anywhere next year. And the best-case scenario for him may be the Sam Murray type of outcome. It may be the Josh Thomas, Lachie Keefe type of outcome where they can get going early in the season after it. So, but that is an absolute best-case scenario for Willie.
All right, break. We'll talk about Brisbane GWS next.
For Coates Hire, we're talking footy finals with Damien Barrett.
Cracking final up in Brisbane. I was there for it, Purple. It was an absolute ripper.
It was a classic, actually.
Oh, it was. Yeah. And 19 forward 50 entries to 7 in the last quarter, and the back six for GWS did a titanic job.
How good were they? Phil Davis just steers it. But superb. I tell you, there's someone who is the equal to him in
those moments.
Nick Haynes. Yeah. Stunning how they were able to control it. And when you saw it go in, you just knew they were going to repel it again. And it was quite extraordinary.
Yeah,
they've done it before this year. They did it against a lesser light team in the Gold Coast Suns, wasn't it? No, it was a Port Adelaide game, I think it was. Late-ish in the season. And they've clearly got an understanding that is rare in a back six. And they've, I think of the two finals, to me, they're the chance. Toby Green somehow gets off this tribunal case tomorrow night, I reckon they've come armed into the finals. We questioned whether they could carry the nastiness that they took into the first final against the Bulldogs into a second week. Well, they did. Yep. They curtailed it a bit. It's got one of their players, Toby Green, into more trouble. But ultimately, they were able to display a steal that was across the board, wasn't it?
I loved it. And for me, Davis was the key. He was almost Scarlett-esque.
Yeah.
He just positioned himself every time it came in, and they just couldn't get around him. And that enabled Haynes and the others to float in and do their thing. But he was enormous. Very, very good player, Phil Davis.
So is Matt DeBoer, all of a sudden, who's become a very important player.
Yep.
Who does he go to? Pendles? Sidebottom? Adams?
I'd go to Pendlebury if I'm in charge of his operations, Bill, because I just still think Pendlebury's the man for Collingwood. Yes. And I was really glad that he got back into the All-Australian team after, I think it was 5 years out of it, wasn't it, Pendlebury, when he could have been in for pretty much all of those 5 years under a certain judgment process.
Speaking of Matty Scarlett, Luke Hodge just pulled a Scarlo, wandered off the ground. He was never doing it any differently, Hodge. It's why we love him.
You saw it was Jared Lyons, wasn't it, Bill? Just tried to offer him the right to a hoist off, and he said, no, thank you very much. So 346 games, two-time Norm Smith medalist, four-time premiership player. It doesn't get much better. And his impact in the two seasons he had as a Lion, I thought he was physically spent, and yet he was one of their better players in
the two
finals they played.
Fantastic.
He might even win the finals player for the club over the two finals.
We have seen blokes request and have delivered a world tour in their last season. Hodgie, the complete opposite, which is why I absolutely love him. He's gone out with the humility and class that he displayed throughout his whole career.
Who are you referring to, Jim? I remember James Hurd had about 17 farewells.
There are some boys that have requested that they get the global tour, whereas Hodgie Butte, and Scarlo even better because he then sent an email.
He just sent an email.
Saying I'm done. Yeah. I absolutely love that.
John Farnham's a good one.
Other stories, Fat, kicking around.
Well, Caniglio, will he play?
I just don't see it because of what Jeremy Cameron said to us on the Sunday Footy Show yesterday, Bill.
Yes,
and footballers dance around it when it comes to their teammates' fitness often. But he didn't even force us to read too much into it, did he? He basically didn't say no, but left us with that feeling that, no, it's not going to happen. But he's talking it up himself, and the club itself won't put a line through it until teams are announced.
Interesting. Today, Jordy DeGoey already training at Collingwood. Today.
Back from Germany.
Yeah.
Still can't see it happening, Bill, but it's going to be a nice problem to have if they do get over the line against GWS on Saturday night or Saturday twilight, because there'll be a week of speculation until they run out the next week, won't they, if he is. But
what's he doing?
Played
Germany?
One game in 6 weeks, Bill. He lasted 2 minutes.
That doctor in Germany, he could be. Sean Higgins still hasn't signed at North Melbourne.
Well, he has signed. He's got a standing contract. So he absolutely has signed.
Has he?
Yep. He's got another year on his deal.
All right, then. Why is there talk that he might leave?
Because he wants more than just next year to be contracted to him. And if that means, in his case, he has to go to Geelong to get that happen, well, he's clearly open-minded to that possibility. He did re-sign with North Melbourne. He signed a three-year deal. The way that was unfolded for him was that there was a front-ended bill. So he's taken some pretty good money
early
over the 3 years of the deal, leaving him with this third year not nearly as lucrative as the money he's already received. Obviously, you smooth it out and make it a 3-year deal. But that's his scenario. And I did see a replay of what he said on Channel 7's Game Day show yesterday, and far from convincing that he's staying.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, again, it's hard in that live TV moment when you're put on the spot as to what you're going to do. But as we often say, it's very easy to take the air out of such stories. Just look down the barrel of the camera and say, I'm staying. And he certainly didn't do that.
A lot of people convinced he's already at Geelong. He's already down the road.
It's just hard to get done, though, Bill.
I know. I don't know how they do it. How would they do it, Jim?
It's not like Todd Goldstein, who was a free agent and could have got him for nothing. And it just became a financial component to what Geelong had to deal with. But to get him out of that contract, to then cough up a draft pick exchange or player exchange with North, that's going to make it really hard. But North blinked on the Goldstein offer. They had 2 years in front of him, made it 3. I get why they've done it for goodwill reasons and also good player reasons, but they were not initially going to move on the 2 years they offered him, made it 3. And I reckon they'll probably do the same with Sean Higgins.
Because a very important player to North Melbourne, Todd Goldstein. I think Higgins will stay for what it's worth. What else, Fat?
I haven't got a lot else.
All right.
Damo, what have you got in your little book? You've always got something.
Yeah, there. We've got the all intrigue. And as Jim said off the top of our time together, the going into prelim final and grand final time is always tribunal time. Mm. And there's going to be a circus down there tonight, Bill, with Tom Hawkins, and then again tomorrow night with more so with Toby Green.
All right, Purple, look forward to seeing you Thursday. We're not seeing you Thursday.
No, I've got something already unavailable. Unavailable, yeah. So.
All right, we'll see you in the lead up to the massive prelim finals.